Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Getaway Friday, September the 16th, 2022, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WGH Radio here, streaming live at WWGH1071.com and by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. Now, we have got to mention something here today because there's a deadline coming up for a big event. Now, I love this quote. I'm so glad this quote was put on this flyer. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note, but today is cash. Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, said that, and said that quite a bit when she was on the speaking tour during her days as the Treasurer of the United States, 1994 through January of 2001. Well, guess what? The Marion County Hall of Fame is honoring and inducting Mary Ellen Withrow on her birthday, Sunday, October the 2nd at 5 p.m. All Occasions Catering learned the other day that there will be a dinner involved with this. 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road in Waldo. This is going to be a great event. Mary Ellen will be speaking that night as well. Now, tickets, $35. Not bad at all when you consider the price of food now and the price of a show. So you're getting two for one here and a moment in history, really, to see Mary Ellen inducted. And by the way, this is also fascinating. She's the first live person ever to be inducted into the Marion County Hall of Fame. Now, here's why this is important today. You have to pre-order your tickets. You cannot wait till October the 2nd and show up at the door. You will be out of luck. And the deadline is today. Today, September 16th at 4 p.m., so you got a few hours left. Call the Marion County Historical Society. 740-387-4255 or stop by the Historical Society, 169 East Church Street here in Marion. They are open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Don't miss that for love nor money. And as of Monday, Mary Ellen was honored with a proclamation by Mayor Scott Schertzer and City Council that October 2nd, her birthday, will be Mary Ellen Withrow Day here in the city of Marion. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be joined live in the studio and recount this amazing career that goes into the Hall of Fame on October the 2nd with the lady herself, former county treasurer, former state treasurer, and former treasurer of the United States, and a treasurer here in Marion, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, good to have you in studio this morning.
Thank you, Scott. It's good to be here.
Now, this event, what does this event mean to you? This is fun.
Well, I tell you, it's pretty important when you say the Hall of Fame, and you think about, I think there's only 26 people in it. And Harding and his wife and her father and Tom Thorpe. Is it Tom Thorpe?
Jim Thorpe?
Jim Thorpe, yeah. And then a bunch of other people, but it's really quite an honor. And I feel really honored to have it, so there you are.
You know, so many things. This is really a definition of things happening later in life. Because I don't want to mention age, because I really don't think age is the important thing here.
No.
But so many things have happened to you after retirement age. Schools have been named for you. Induction into the Hall of Fame coming up. You've gotten other awards as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Is it different to get these things after retirement age than it would have been earlier in life?
Yes. I think maybe it means a little bit more because you're not in the throes of a job and everything, and you have more time to think about it. But it's really an honor. I'll tell you, it's an honor to be appreciated by your hometown.
You know, I was there Monday night at the city council meeting. I didn't get to see you Monday night, but I was there when the mayor made his proclamation. And to hear the mayor of a city say those things, what does that mean? Those nice things he said about you.
Well, I really appreciated it. I didn't see you there.
I was I was two rows behind you.
Oh, you were?
I was, and I think we just, I didn't want to wave or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't know you were there. But anyway, and it was, I couldn't hear very well. I couldn't hear what they were saying very well, and or I would have stayed longer. But I thought this is hard to guess what's happening, you know.
Well, you said on Monday that might have been the first city council meeting.
I think it was. I had never been to one that I remember anyway.
As far as what you did see in the time you were there, what do you make of how a city operates?
Well, it operates different than any other level of government, that's for sure. It's your closest operation to the person that's living there, and it's where you need to voice your opinions, and that's what people were doing.
Now, you were there, as I said, for a proclamation naming a day for you, which will be October 2nd, your birthday. What's it like to have a day named for you?
Well, it's very nice. I appreciated that.
Now, the museum also is a big thing that has happened this year recently. Yeah. Opened up back in June officially. How are things going over at the museum?
Good. I think I'm going to stop in this afternoon. And I've been really still finding things that I want to put in there. And I just got the new Christmas ornament for this year, and I've got it in the car. It's this year. It's for Nixon. It's very interesting. They are not honoring Nixon. They're honoring Pat Nixon,
the wife.
Yes, they don't even mention him. It's her. I forget what you call it. The decoration in Christmas that you eat,
the mistletoe. Gingerbread house.
Yeah, gingerbread house. She evidently made the gingerbread house. Now, when I talked to him on the phone, they referred to Martha Stewart. They didn't refer to Pat Nixon. I thought, isn't that interesting that they don't even mention Richard Nixon?
You know, I don't know that we've ever talked about this. You were would have been county treasurer when Nixon was going through all his difficulties. What do you make of Richard Nixon? He's no longer with us now. He did rehabilitate himself in some ways. Past presidents would call on him for advice. But he did obviously do something that led to his resignation from office. How do you think history should look on Richard Nixon?
Well, I tell you, I watched it every day. I couldn't stop watching it. And when Ford excused him, I was just really upset. And my daughter Becky was sitting on the floor. She was about 8 years old, I think, and she said, "Well, they're buddies. Buddies take care of each other." And I thought, boy, she's got it figured out.
Now, that had always been a long-standing question. Do you think, because Ford denied it till the day he died, do you think there was a deal before Nixon left?
I do, yeah, I do. I think that's how it all wrapped up.
You know, I think about that a lot now because Nixon left on his own behest. He resigned from office. Mm-hmm. Now, we have had three impeachments since that. Now, Nixon was never impeached. Bill Clinton was impeached. Donald Trump was impeached twice. They never left and were never forced to leave. Do you think Nixon could have wrote it out?
He might have. I wondered about that, too, because, it was a bad thing on their record, but they were still there after it was over with, both Clinton and Trump.
When we look at what Bill Clinton did, just because you served under him, you were there during that whole mess. When we look at it now, what he did that got him impeached, what do you look on it as? Was it a big deal? Should he have been impeached for that?
Well, when it happened, everybody was very upset. And the government was shut down. There wasn't hardly anybody at Treasury at that time, and I would imagine it was the same situation in the White House. There was very few people. And I don't know. I was upset, but then after a while, I mean, when I would talk to children in schools, they'd say, do you know President Clinton? I said, yes. And they'd go, you know, you'd hear him take a big breath. And I thought, you know, I wish he could hear that. And then it was over with, and it's still talked about far more than I think it should be. But he was a really good president. He had, the economy was in a perfect situation when he was there. And I just think it's just too bad. And you know, the other day, Nora, what's her name on Channel 10, is it, or 4? She was interviewing Hillary, and she asked Hillary, what's the hardest thing you ever had to do? And Hillary said, decide whether to stay with my husband. And I thought, and she said, harder than running for president? And she said, yes. Isn't that something?
What do you make of their relationship? Because I heard her say once, Hillary, she was asked, well, what is the, by a reporter, she was asked, well, what is the relationship between you two? And she said, well, it's a marriage. You know, people do have this idea that their relationship, because of that event, because of the other picadillos that he was involved in, the fact that she had her own political ambitions, that they're really, that's more of a business relationship, that they're together because presidents don't get divorced after office and so on and so forth. Do you think it's a real marriage?
Yeah, I do. And, you look at Franklin Roosevelt and Eleanor, and there was another situation where, she did so much for him that he couldn't do, like traveling all over the country and feeding the information back to him so he could do the things he had to do. I think it was a wonderful working relationship there.
Wanted to make sure you told this story. I had never heard this story until John Glenn died a few years ago. You came in that morning and told this story. It's a great story about Bill Clinton's impeachment. And John Glenn, who was an Ohio senator at that point, was in Washington as well. And tell the story of what happened with you and John Glenn when that happened.
Well, he came over and he was sitting in my office and he said, Bill Clinton would have been a wonderful president, a great president. But I said, all they're going to do is remember this. And I said, that's right. I said, that's what will happen. And that is, that's what happened. You know,
it's interesting with the Queen dying, all the good press that she has gotten, it still mentions that one picadillo in her life where Princess Diana died. And she didn't say anything, and she was kind of forced in, and it all mentions it. When Bill Clinton goes many years from now, is this going to be the story, the impeachment?
Yes, I'm sure it will be. There was a treasurer in, it was West Virginia, a good friend of mine, and I tried to... the press called me about it because she had taken a male friend of hers to events, and I guess the state paid for it, and they shouldn't have. And they held that against her when she died. Mm-hmm. And they wrote the article about her death, and it was all about that. you know, I thought, you know, that's too bad, because she was really a nice person. And but, you know, the press goes for the negative a lot.
Well, this is something. You're nearly, well, how many years were you in office? Went in 69, Elgin School Board.
Yeah, I was in office, well, actually, I was a treasurer for 25 years, so if you had the school board, it was 29.
29 years of elected office and on the local, state, and national level.
Mm-hmm.
There are no dramas. There are no, how did you stay scandal-free when these other people can't?
Well, I guess just luck.
Well, how do you think you would have, not that you would have had a scandal, but how would you have operated in the world of cable news, social media, everybody's got a camera now? Do you think it would have been harder to be in office now?
Well, of course, Facebook, I think, holds a lot of that problem there. Now, Facebook wasn't in existence when I was in, but, you know, I had a small embezzlement when I was county treasurer, and then when I ran, of course, in there, it was the big embezzlement in the state treasurer's office under Gertrude Donahue, and I'm running after her. And immediately what I did was I said, I know what to look for. And because I said, I've got to attack this right away because that's what people will use. And it worked out pretty well, really. I think about that every once in a while because that is something that you have to stay right on top of right in the beginning. Yeah.
You know, I know it's hard to look inwardly at yourself, but at this point, there is nobody, either side of the political realm, certainly in Marion, and even statewide. I remember on your 90th birthday, Dennis Kucinich called in. Ted Strickland called in.
Yeah.
These people don't agree politically on everything, yet they all like, admire, will take the time to talk to Mary Ellen. What do you think it is about you that your politics aren't really important? It's, we just like her.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love talking to people. That's why I got into politics, was meeting people. And the other thing was I felt I could fix things if they needed to be fixed. I felt that it was, you can do so much more in politics than you can by yourself, because you've got this body around you that's helping. And I really feel that working with people is the most important, and I don't care who they are. I mean, I tried to help everybody that asked me. Yeah.
Was there ever anything when you were in office that you felt you couldn't talk about that you can now that time has passed, that you've been out of office?
No, not really. No.
You were always very accessible to the media.
Yes, I like talking to the media, and I used to really have to guard myself on not relaxing when I talk to the media. That's very important.
Did you know what media sources were going to be accurate and which ones had kind of had an agenda?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there were media people when I would travel that you could tell they hadn't done their homework, you know, immediately. You're dealing with somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about, and that was always kind of upsetting. But most of the media was good, you know.
As you were progressing along in your career, what was the hardest thing to learn? Was it public speaking? Was it how to present yourself? Was it dealing with people? What was the hardest trait? Or what do you think you got better at as time went on?
Well, working a room. I got so I was good at it. But in the beginning, I think I started at the county fair. This guy was running for office for state office. I can't remember what one, maybe just legislature. And he said, come on over here, Marielle, and I want you to meet my friends. And he sort of got me started on, you know, just going up to somebody and shaking their hand, because in the beginning that's kind of hard to do. And if you're, you know, not used to it. And then the speeches were another thing. And, you know, now I love giving speeches. It's amazing.
Well, what do you think, if you were going to give advice, because there are people in high school, college, who they're scared to death to give a speech, scared to death to get up in front of the class. What's your advice on giving a good speech?
Well, know what you're talking about, first of all. That's very important. You got to do the research and the background study on it and make sure you've got things correct. And I tell you, I remember listening to Lloyd Benson was giving a speech, and I had just gone in as U.S. Treasurer, and he was talking about that he ate moose lips in Russia, and I thought, that is so interesting. I wish I had something good to talk about like that. And because it was things like that that would fascinate me when I listened to somebody. And you had to have, and at first you don't have the experience. You don't have the things that have happened that you can relate to. But I had certain things that I would say, like, doesn't it make sense to elect a treasurer to be treasurer? Because I was the only treasurer running against six men. And it was things like that that you could tell when the audience liked it. So you use those things.
Mary Ellen Withrow is the guest here today, 37 minutes past the hour. Mary Ellen's going to be with us until 12 noon today. And don't forget to get a ticket to this event. You have till 4 o'clock today, the induction of Mary Ellen Withrow into the Marion County Hall of Fame. Call 740-387-4255, $35 a ticket. Before we go back, and we are going to talk more about Mary Ellen's career, do want to hit on a few current events here, because we are, boy, what are we now, 60 days away from the gubernatorial election here in Ohio. And the recent polls, we were talking a little bit about this before we went on the air today. The poll is from August 16th through 19th. Shows Governor DeWine at 54%, Nan Whaley at 38%, and undecided 8%. Mary Ellen was one of the first to endorse Nan Whaley, really the first major politician in Ohio I heard endorse Nan Whaley last year. What do you make of the numbers, Mary Ellen, as we get close to the day?
Well, I tell you, it's going to be you got a campaign.
And I talked to, and you being such an influential woman, and obviously showing that a woman can win political office, do these numbers reflect her being a woman? She is the first woman ever to run for governor as the head of a candidate of a major party.
Well, she's running against an incumbent. First of all, that's very hard to do. He's been in office a very, very long time in different offices, but his name is so well known, and she's got to overcome that, and it's very hard to do. But you have to campaign so hard. I think she is campaigning pretty hard.
The other thing last week on Wednesday, after really giving him some not so nice words, President Trump endorsed Governor DeWine last Wednesday. A lot of people did not see that coming. That might be a hard one to overcome for her.
It might be. You don't know.
Why in Ohio? And it's not the case everywhere else, but we saw it in the primary. President Trump endorsed J.D. Vance. He was running third in that race, and within a week, he won. Why is President Trump's endorsement so important in Ohio?
Well, it seems to be. I don't know why, but he's got a lot of people that support him.
What could, if you were working with, for Nan Whaley, or just giving her advice, with the numbers as they are and 60 days left to go, what would you say she needs to do?
Well, she this thing about high taxes, I think there needs to be more explanation there, because that's where he's hitting her with right now. He's a tough campaigner, and of course he's been doing it for so long. I would like to have an explanation on the taxes, and I think there is a way to do that. If you have somebody that can figure it out, you got to have a good person doing your TV.
You know, an interesting thing here is it does not look like there are going to be any debates. So between now and the election, there's really no other shot except television, radio, to get a message across, because it. What do you make of the debates going by the wayside?
Well, I never was one to have much on a debate. I think you know the story of my debate. I refused to debate Bucky Reinhardt, and the next morning the Columbus Dispatch said he debated himself and lost. Yeah, I refused to debate him because I knew it was a setup. He had been working on this for weeks, I guess, had all these posters and everything, and I thought, he's got all the press in Columbus, and I thought, I'm not going to do this. And people thought I'd lost the race right then. And I didn't know whether I had or not.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there are a lot of parallels between the gubernatorial race and that race of yours for state treasurer, that Buck Reinhardt certainly came from a bigger area, Columbus. Mm-hmm. You came from Marion.
Yeah.
You were a woman. Why that matters, I have no idea, but mm-hmm. for some reason it does.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man. Same thing, really, here with Nan Whaley and DeWine. DeWine's probably got better name recognition because of being around so long. She's a woman. You overcame it, though. What do you think swung it? You didn't debate him. How did you win that race?
Well, I was on. I had one spot on TV, and I said I ended the spot with I really want the job. And Buck Reinhardt had, in the beginning, announced for governor and then dropped back to treasurer. And I think that saying, I really want the job, did it. I don't know. I'm guessing, but that's my interpreting it.
Did you know going in that night or have a pretty good idea that you were going to win?
No, I didn't, but my staff did. They didn't tell me. I was kind of disgusted with them for not letting me know that I could have taken a lot of stress off of me.
I bet that is a stressful night, election night.
It's terrible. you don't know if you're going to make it or not, you know.
Now, back in those days, in the early 80s, before internet, obviously, how did you get the results for a statewide election?
On the telephone.
They call them in?
Yeah, I was in a hotel in Columbus, and Buck Reinhardt was a couple of floors above me in the same hotel. And I remember my daughters, once we found out that I'd won, they went up to just peek in the room. And they were curious. And there's so many interesting stories. I've got all these memories about election nights that it's election night's very hard on you.
I would guess so. Just want to touch on this because how can we not? Of course, for two reasons. Our mayor is running for state treasurer, mm-hmm. and obviously that's the position that you held for two terms here in Ohio. Was it two or almost three?
Three terms.
Mm-hmm. And there aren't exactly polls taken in that race, but kind of the way the governor's race goes those sort of races. obviously Scott worked for you, the mayor worked for you,
mm-hmm.
obviously you support him, obviously that's your old position, but where we sit now, what's your feeling on that race?
Well, I think Scott is working really hard, and he's enjoying it, the talking to people just like I did. He enjoys that a lot, and that's what you have to do. You just work as hard as you can, and hope you win.
Do you think with the makeup of the state now and the way the governor's race tends to be going, that he can still pull it out?
He could. I have never heard anything about the current treasurer. He's not well known, and I think Scott has an advantage there. And who knows, you know, what will happen when they go on TV, because I imagine they both will. And but Scott has been all over the state really, really working.
Do you consider Ohio still to be a swing state, or do we tend more Republican now?
Well, I think it is more Republican. It has been, but I don't know. I don't know if it'll stay that way, because states tend to go this way and that way in different times. But lately, it has been Republican.
You know, one of the interesting things, and I don't know what it'll be on election night, but with Scott being the mayor, being the current candidate for state treasurer, and still the mayor here in Marion, there's even talk of if he can carry Marion County, because we tend to vote Republican in Marion County. That's how out of whack this state has become.
Mm-hmm. Well, the past elections have been pretty Republican, but you know, he's been a good mayor, and I would think that he would carry Marion.
What is it about a politician, local politician, that makes a good state politician? What do you have to do to make that jump?
You have to picture yourself in that position you're running for, and that's what people always told me. They said, you have to look like, if you're running for state treasurer, you've got to look like the state treasurer. And that's very important. You picture yourself in that position, and you approach it from that standpoint.
Look is a very important thing, especially for women. Again, for some reason, more
yeah.
important for women than men. When you knew you had to do a public appearance, how did you, as silly as this seems, but how did you decide what you were going to wear, how you were going to dress, how you were going to wear your hair? For some reason is important for women. Hillary got beat to death with that.
That's Charlie.
That's Charlie, yeah. He held on to that till the end.
Yes.
But how did you get, if you knew you were going to do a big event, how did you decide how you were going to present yourself?
Well, if you were familiar with the people that you were going to be talking to, you tried to, you know, if they dressed up, you would really dress up. And I know a couple of times I misinterpreted how people were going to dress, and in fact, one time they didn't tell me it was formal. I was really upset with them, because I didn't know I was supposed to wear a formal. And but they didn't care. I mean, it didn't matter, you know. But you try to dress appropriately for the event.
now does, I always wonder, because you see a lot of female politicians and female actors, actresses. This doesn't appear to be as important with males. Jewelry. Does a lot of thought go into that for a female person in the public eye?
Well, yes, I think you pay attention to your jewelry. But there was another situation with my hair. I remember, I don't know how many events that day, and the gal that was with me, she said, you've got to do something about your hair. So we were in this place where I could have her work on my hair in the back room, and I was a little late coming out to the event, but it was because they had to work on my hair. And she had a curler, and she was burning my, she burned my scalp. She was hurrying, and I was glad when that was over.
I bet. Well, the hair really does become important.
Oh, yes, very important.
Why is that a thing?
Well, you got to look good, and if your hair doesn't look good, you know, men just have a haircut. I mean, they've got to keep their hair cut pretty good, but we have to have it looking the way we usually have it look, or people are going to think, you know, what's the matter with her? She doesn't care enough to take care of her hair. And talking about when you're traveling all over the world, that's pretty hard to do.
Well, it's interesting because I remember when Barbara Bush became First Lady, mm-hmm. and there was so much made about the fact that she was the First Lady, at least in the 20th century, who didn't dye her hair, that she had gray, white hair. Did that ever matter in your case? No.
But she wore polka dots. That's what she was known for, was the polka dots.
And those pearls.
Yes. Pearls.
Yeah. And then she always had to wear them, no matter what she did, just like Madeleine Albright with those brooches.
Oh, they were talking about that this morning.
Yeah, she always had to have those brooches on.
They said she went to see somebody she didn't like, and she wore this sword. So I thought that was pretty funny.
So they were mood.
Yeah.
Mood things.
Yeah.
Well, you know, with all this news in the past week, I guess week and a day now since the Queen died, her fashion was such a big deal.
Her hats.
Hats.
I just marveled at those hats and how the colors just were perfect with the outfit she had on. You know, she really... and then she had on this flowery dress this morning. They were showing her at something. I didn't remember her ever wearing a flowery dress like that, but evidently she did. But she was a very attractive woman, I thought, and she, you know, she had a family, a big family, while she was queen, and that's a job. And then I thought he was a very good husband for the whole situation, because he let her do what she had to do, and that's not always easy, you know, for a marriage.
She reigned for 70 years, never gave an interview to the press.
Oh, she didn't?
Apparently not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Never gave an interview, and also, from what I could tell, never really gave her opinion mm-hmm. on anything. Why do you think that was important to her? To kind of keep it a little, I guess, mystical in a way.
Light, yeah. Well... She wasn't political.
No.
And she stayed out of that. And she had to get along with both parties. And she did that.
Well, I think they're talking about that a lot right now, because Charles has given interviews, and he also does have issues like climate change.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Queen never did that. Queen didn't have that.
No.
So I don't know how that's going to work out over there now.
I don't know either. Yeah.
Are you surprised by the coverage of her death in America?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very heavy.
Yeah. It's on all the time almost. Yeah.
Well, I was surprised last night. Somebody called me who I had never heard talk about the Queen. And they, well, what do you think of the Queen's death? I don't think you can avoid it right now.
No.
She certainly had a way about her.
Right. She did. And you know something? I did not remember she had a daughter Anne, and somehow she was never in the news. Did you remember her?
I didn't remember her, but I was surprised because her boys certainly have been in the news quite a bit.
Yeah, well, Andrew, you know, he had his problems, but Anne was never anything said about her, and I was surprised when they started talking about Anne. I thought, who's Anne, you know?
Yeah. Were you ever conscious of how you interacted with people you worked with? Because lately I've been hearing a lot about the Queen. We used to hear this about Margaret Thatcher. Hillary got some of this on her, that if she said something in a tone or gave an order, that it's, you know, she's, they use the nice word, you know, the word on for a woman. Were you ever conscious of your tone when talking to people who worked for you?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, it's you have to be careful. I had a lot of good people working for me, and it's something that is sort of a delicate situation. Yeah.
When you come in and say maybe you don't feel well that day, mm-hmm. or you're tired, or somebody does do something that you have to fix, how do you deal with those days?
Yeah, you just have to be careful. I know I had somebody that was sick a lot. One day I had one of my people was off because they had to have their dog operated on. I said, I don't even take time off when my family's being operated on. And, you know, it's a very sensitive thing, but I felt that she shouldn't be taking all that time off for her dog.
Did you feel compelled to let people know how you felt on issues like that?
Well, if it was necessary, yes. If it's necessary, yes. If it's not, you leave it alone.
When somebody new came to work in your office, especially on the national level, when they first met with you, how did you say, you know, this is what I expect, or was it just a casual meeting, or how would that happen?
Yeah, I would tell them what I expected. Yes, that's very necessary. They need to know what you want, and if they don't know, then you can't. You gotta let them know right in the beginning.
What was important to you in an office setting?
That they do their job. There in the at the national level, there one person was in charge of the schedule, another was in charge of getting the tickets for air tickets and everything that had to be done, and the other one was taking things on the phone constantly. And what was interesting about that office, they were being paid by wherever they were from, which was the Bureau of Engraving and Printing had a person there, the Mint had a person there, and the Savings Bonds people had a person there. So it was not coming out of my budget. It was being paid for by those bureaus. And there was something else I wanted to tell you there. Now I forgot what it was. But, I'll think of it.
Well, yeah, and we're going to come up on a break here, but we've got Mary Ellen for a whole nother hour after this 15-minute break. But just to wrap up the clothing thing here, because you probably, how many at the height, being on the national level, nice outfits would you say you had?
Well, I was buying St. John's. I would buy one a year, and they last forever, and they stay in style. And I said I wore St. John's in the winter, and what was the name of the other one in the summer? I forget what the name of that one was. And you had to have things that didn't wrinkle, and it was very important because St. John's, they don't wrinkle. They always look nice. And so I would have, you know, after I was there, when I went there, I had a few outfits too. So, yeah, I felt that, I felt I was always well-dressed.
I guess the question I would say, because it was interesting when they were putting together your museum at the Historical Society, they wanted the dress you were sworn in, mm-hmm. in, and it is there, mm-hmm. at the Historical Society, very well lit. It's a beautiful thing. But as far as the other clothing you wore during that time, the nice clothing, did you keep those things or did you give them to people?
Well, I still have some, but then I've lost weight, and they don't fit. Most of those don't fit anymore. But I had them for a long time, really, and just last year I tried to. Well, my daughters took some of them. Yeah.
Don't forget, Mary Ellen Withrow is going to be inducted into the Marion County Hall of Fame on her birthday, October the 2nd, at 5 p.m., all occasions catering, $35 a ticket. That does include dinner that night. But you have to get your tickets today by 4 p.m. Call the Historical Society, 740-387-4255. More with Mary Ellen in about 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
What I used to do, just, you know, drive people crazy until they finally say yes and do the show. That's really, that shows me a lot.
Well,